It is exactly 9:08. Boom, right then. Good morning. October 19th, it is a Thursday. We got a free for all today. Ah, yes, the party line on 970 WATH. How many years? Quite a few indeed, and I'm pleased to still be doing it. Yeah. All right. Well, good morning, folks. Welcome. We've had some interesting things this morning. We've got a couple illnesses, so I'm here alone today. But that's all right. Here in this particular studio, but we'll do our very best to get through it. Okay. And, of course, we got some great music in store for you as well following the show. Well, this is The Party Line on WATH. I'm Dave Palmer. In the news, there's some stories. Let me back up just a notch. We were supposed to do a topic today on all the different activities there are available in Athens. Our guest who is going to do that had a personal commitment come up unexpectedly. So we're going to try to reschedule that, okay? Because, mercy, there are so many things. So we'll get that going. And, I'm very proud of Athens, as all of you have sensed over my many years here. And so I just want to promote, all the good things. All right. Well, anyway, back to business here. So today has become a free-for-all edition. One more little oddity is that Don, who normally joins me when we do this, he's under the weather. So we're hoping that he'll feel better very soon. And but in the meantime, let's get going. So, in Ohio news, okay, I came across this item this morning, and let's see here. Basically, the headline, if you want to call it that, says, "Activists rally over pending fracking on Ohio's state lands." The story goes on that on October 27th, experts and environmental activists will gather in Columbus to rally against the legalized expansion of fracking into Ohio's state lands and parks. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources Oil and Gas Land Management Commission is expected to begin making decisions on fracking leases within forests, wildlife areas, and other public lands next month. So, I don't think I have a real strong opinion on that matter, and not that my opinion matters anyway. But certainly, if there is to be some of that done, I want it done right and the lands made restored perfectly and everything like that. But whether it should be done at all, that's far deeper than me, my knowledge, all right? So that may be something you folks would like to look into. But that's all coming up on October 27th. And then it gets underway. Let's see here. What do I have? Oh, I do have a little more on this. So let's learn together. So as I said, on October 27th, experts and environmental activists will gather in Columbus to rally against the legalized expansion of fracking into Ohio's state lands and parks. Let's see here. A governor-appointed commission could begin approving fracking leases on Ohio's state lands as early as next month. Save Ohio Parks volunteer Jenny Morgan, who will be rallying alongside experts and environmental activists in Columbus on October 27th, says fracking and related infrastructure are linked to increased childhood cancers, fertility, and hormone disruption, and a host of other negative health impacts. This is a quote from her. It says, "Gas and oil drilling, hydrofracking is anything but. The waste stream is radioactive waste that has to be re-injected, has to be carted away by trucks. It's light pollution, it's noise pollution, it's air pollution." Well, our governor, Mike DeWine, signed House Bill 507 into law this year, which mandates the state approved permits for oil and gas leasing on state-owned land. The fracking industry and other supporters of the legislation argue that expanding fracking to state lands will benefit communities economically and keep energy costs affordable. Let's see here. We have another, quote from Megan. Jenny, let's see here. From Morgan, Jenny Morgan. And her quote says, "We're going to make our voices heard, even though they have told us that our voices don't matter. And shown us that our voices don't matter. We're still going to stand up and insist that this not happen." Well, let's see. According to the Yale School of Environment, health effects increasingly linked to living near fracking include cancer, low birth weight, disruptions to the endocrine system, nosebleeds, headaches, and nausea. Well, October 27th, a lot of people are going to be gathering in Columbus to express themselves on this topic. Let's see here. What else do we have? Just in terms of kind of like headlines, and these are all of which, we are a member of the CBS News radio network. And so our news people here could interact with them, and each morning they send out a kind of a memo to our news people saying, if you want to talk about this topic, here's who to work with, and it's the name of that particular reporter for CBS, and so on and so forth. And I thought, since I haven't really shared this very often with my audience here, I would just sort of give you a few examples. So today, in the way of two-way availabilities. That means where we call the reporter and our news person and their news person discuss, and then you edit up a short segment about it, right? So, Vicky Barker in London on Israel-Hamas war terror concerns. We all certainly know about what's going on there, and it's concerning, of course. Another item, Cammy McCormick from CBS in Washington on the Ukraine-Russia war and the Israel-Hamas war. Then we have another reporter, Linda Gradstein, who's in Jerusalem, once again to talk about the same general topic. Robert Berger also in Jerusalem. These are all CBS News correspondents who would be happy to talk with our personnel and share what they're observing. Thane Rosenbaum, he's a legal analyst and a CBS, he's with the CBS network. Now he's available to talk about the Trump civil lawsuit. Let's see, Jim Krasula, that's it. I've heard that before. Jim Krasula is in Wilmington, North Carolina, on Joran van der Sloot plea. And this list is lengthy. And just all manner of things can be discussed between someone who's actually on the scene and our local news people as well. In this report, let me count the pages. Five pages. How about that? Well, what are the headlines? By the way, if you're wondering where Don is, Don's under the weather this morning, meaning he's not feeling well. So we wish him a speedy recovery. Headlines. Really the top item, and I would agree with this, is that the United States says Israel did not cause the hospital blast. Evidently a weapon or a, I don't know what you call it, a rocket or whatever, that was set off, failed, and came down and blasted that hospital. It was a failed rocket launch by an armed Palestinian group who were trying to defend the Gaza city. Well, that was certainly unfortunate. In Tel Aviv, Biden's embrace of Israel came with a gentle warning. In a rare wartime visit, President Biden paired his support for Israel with a plea not to let overwhelming grief or anger drive the country to go too far. Oh, back to that hospital thing. I just came across another thing. It says, a sudden blast, then carnage in a hospital courtyard. And it says, we've never lived through a war this intense, said a Palestinian journalist who captured the aftermath of the blast in Gaza that killed hundreds. Let's see, here's an interesting item. It says, after writing an anti-Israel letter, Harvard students are doxxed, D-O-X-X-E-D. Not a word I've seen too often. It goes on, a truck with a billboard displaying their names and photos. And critics put out do not hire lists. The students say it's a campaign to shut them up. Well, campaigns. You know, there's good ones. Obviously, bad ones. And they each have consequences. I really don't know what to say. Well, what else do we have here? I have so many stories about that hospital explosion in Gaza. But the news has been full of it since it occurred. And I just don't know what new things I can share with you. We do know, of course, that President Biden went to Israel. And if you picked one line of what he said out of it, let me say that again. If you had to pick one line that he used during his visit, it would probably be, you are not alone. You know, the security on this thing, amazing. The aircraft that took him in, flew him to Israel. Equipped with all sorts of special stuff. To just look at it, it looked like a Boeing 707, right? But it had on board the electronic RF by RF, I mean transmissions that could, say a missile was headed for it, it could change the trajectory of that missile. So, you know, do those things work 100%? We hope so. But you never know. And so there really was a certain risk to that. In any case, President Biden compared the rage felt in Israel after the Hamas terror attacks to what Americans felt after 9/11, and cautioned against allowing that anger to drive wartime decisions. Yes, indeed. When we are so emotionally tied up in something, do we always arrive at the most appropriate or best decision? It certainly does influence us. Well, why is the Rafah border crossing so important for Gaza? The access point where aid trucks are waiting to enter from Egypt and people are waiting to leave is the only land crossing into Gaza that is not controlled by Israel. So a lot is expected to happen there. And the point is, how can they keep Israel, who at present does not have anything to mess that up, from quickly putting something together to mess that up? It's a big question mark. Let's see, China's close ties with Russia encountering American dominance point to geopolitical rift that could shape the conflict between Israel and Hamas. With Putin by his side, Xi outlines his vision of a new world order. Kenya. In Kenya, there's been an odd thing happen. They've had an influx of fake lawyers. The authorities there are investigating numerous cases of unqualified people acting as lawyers. Some leaders in the country have voiced support for those caught in the act. Yeah. Well, do you remember this what was her name? Natalie Holloway, right? I think that was the name. We have an update on that. This happened 18 years ago. Joran Vandersloot admitted that he brutally attacked the American teenager on a beach in Aruba, bringing a close to a case that had fascinated the American public since she vanished back in 2005. 18 years ago. Huh. Oh, here's an odd one. This is about immigrants down in Texas. And the headline, if you want to call it that, reads, Texas has bused 50,000 migrants. Now it wants to arrest them instead. Let's see what they're getting at here. The migrant busing program altered the debate over immigration. Governor Greg Abbott, Texas governor, wants to give Texas police expanded powers over border enforcement. So really, they're not talking about those they've already bused. They're talking bust, there we go, like transported. They're really talking about, you know, can they continue to assist them or should they start to arrest them? These people trying to cross the border. Here's another story. It says the state, a State Department official resigns over arms transfers to Israel. We're talking about Josh Paul, who spent more than 11 years as the Director of Congressional and Public Affairs at the bureau that oversees arms transfers to foreign nations. Well, he has resigned. And as I said, he's feeling some heat. And we'll just have to wait and see how that all pans out. Well, let's see. What's his name? Jim Jordan? I think it is. Jordan defeated again for Speaker as Republican stalemate deepens. The number of Republicans opposing him grew as a bipartisan group discussed taking action to empower the temporary speaker to conduct legislative business on the House floor. Folks, there was a time in my life when I spent a good bit of time in Washington working on matters of importance to the broadcasting industry. I was associated with the National Association of Broadcasters. I was elected to this position years ago, and it was fascinating. But it caused me to have to work a great deal with our political leaders, and particularly more on the Ohio scale, but somewhat on the national scale. Anyway, this mess with the Speaker of the House, I've just never heard of something being like this before. I'm only 74. You know, our nation's been in business a lot longer than that. It's very possible this sort of thing has happened before, but I don't recall hearing of it or reading about it or anything. But the Speaker of the House. Wow. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. All right, what else do we have here? It's 9:35. We did that story. Home builders. This is kind of in the category of business news, if you will. Home builders are responding to rising interest rates with an innovation. What is it? Smaller homes. Less square footage. Well, yeah. I have a hidden interest, hobby, whatever you want to call it, in architecture. And I love studying different floor plans and different methods of construction and things like that. And, you know, the number of small house ideas now has just boomed. And it has been booming in the last, I'm going to say, 15, 20 years. But it's extra exciting now because so many people are feeling a pinch, financial pinch. Say, while I'm talking about construction, the last few days, well, for what, a month or two now, they've been working very hard across the street here on Columbus Road. I'm building a new medical facility. Who am I talking about? This is Memorial Hospital, formerly known, I guess, officially as Marietta Memorial. But if I'm not mistaken, they're dropping the word Marietta because they have locations, well, this will be Athens, and they'll have, let's see here, what'd I say? Athens, they've got, of course, Marietta where they're based. There's Belpre, several other locations as well, as I understand it. So we had the chairman of their board of directors as well as their chief operating officer as guests probably a month ago. And they were telling us that they had just visited the plant over in Pennsylvania that was putting together this new building that is now underway here on Columbus Road. I mean, the first modules have arrived. They probably have, oh, I don't know, 10 of those modules they've placed in the last 48 hours. It's like Legos, if you know that toy. They all fit together. And this hospital, health center, whatever we want to call it, consists of 200 modules. And these modules are trucked over from Pennsylvania. They had already pre-constructed it over there and fixed, you know, put all the plumbing lines in and you know, medical gases like oxygen and things like that, and sort of checked everything out before they then tore it apart into its pieces and are hauling them over here one by one. I saw one of these modules the other day arrive, and it's wider than your typical big truck. So it has, like, typically a truck before it and a truck after it with special flashing lights. Anyway, if you haven't been out here in the last few days, you may want to just take a peek here on Columbus Road. It's underway, and each day it's a couple of pieces farther along. Really interesting how these all fit together. Okay, well, anyway, on home building, people are, the trend right at the moment is many people are now considering smaller homes. All right. Let's see here. Oh, earlier this week, we had my relative, my cousin, on the air to talk about artificial intelligence. And there's not a day that goes by that there aren't stories about it that we could share with you, that we get over our news systems, be it Associated Press or UPI or whatever it might be. And so here's an item. It says Stanford researchers have ranked 10 major AI models on how openly they operate. This whole AI thing still is kind of a big secret, but this particular report that Stanford University has put out is letting people understand a bit more. If I read it, I'm not sure I would understand it. But to those that have that knowledge, go for it. Let's see here. Other items in the news. an Allied spy chief warns of Chinese espionage targeting tech firms. It goes on to say FBI officials say more than half of Chinese spying efforts aimed at stealing technology occurs in Silicon Valley. Wow. Well, let's see here. Let me put this report away and reach for a different one. There's many we bring in when we have free-for-all editions such as today. Once again, if you just tuned in and noticed I'm alone. Yeah, Don was under the weather this morning, Don Holbert. So I'm doing it alone, and I hope I'm doing okay here. Well, in the New York Times, kind of their lead item, it says, "Good morning. We're covering the Great American Investment Slump." Okay. So let's see. Here's an interesting item. It says, the next time you take a trip within the United States, we encourage you to try a thought experiment. Imagine how long the same trip might have taken a half century ago. They go on, chances are it would have taken less time than it does today. Okay. The scheduled flight time between Los Angeles and New York, for example, has become about 30 minutes longer. Aviation technology has not advanced in ways that speed the trip. And the skies have become so crowded that pilots reroute planes to avoid traffic. Nearly every other part of the trip also lasts longer than it would have a few decades ago, thanks to traffic on the roads and airport security. So all told, a cross-country trip could take you a few more hours today than it would have back in the 1970s. Now, I've noticed this personally. Back in the 70s, I was doing a lot of long trips. For one thing, I lived in Hawaii. And, of course, I had responsibilities in Los Angeles, Columbus, and so on. Recently I've talked to people who have had distant flights. And the time it takes, it is so lengthy. It's just amazing. Well, this isn't true just for long flights. Shorter trips also take more time. Auto traffic in almost every metro area has worsened, and the country has done little to improve its rail networks. In 1969, Metroliner trains made 2.5-hour nonstop trips between Washington and New York. I remember them. Today, there are no nonstop trains on that route. And the fastest trip, which is on Acela trains, A-C-E-L-A, takes about 20 minutes longer than the Metroliner once did. Well, the speed at which people can get from one place to another is one of the most basic measures of a society's sophistication. It affects economic productivity and human happiness. Academic research has found that commuting makes people more unhappy than almost any other daily activity. Yet, in one area of U.S. travel after another, progress has largely stopped over the past half century. This lack of recent progress is not a result of any physical or technological limits either. In other parts of the world, travel has continued to accelerate. Shanghai's airport is almost 20 miles from its city center, and the trip on the high-speed train takes less than 10 minutes. LaGuardia Airport in Times Square are significantly closer together, yet good luck making the trip in less than 30 minutes. Why is it more difficult to get around the U.S.? Above all, it's because our society has stopped investing in the future as we once did. For decades, government investments in highways, mass transit, scientific research, education, and other future-oriented programs has grown more slowly than it once did, and has often failed to keep pace with economic growth. And the private sector tends to underinvest in these same areas because any individual company has a hard time making a profit from early stage investments. Wow. Well, this shortfall, of course, of investments affects far more than just travel. It affects economic growth, public health, and both racial and gender inequities. The long American investment slump is one of the causes of our modern malaise, with rising income inequality, declining life expectancy, and deep frustration about the economy even when it's growing. Well, if you'd like to know more, the New York Times has a great deal more on this topic. Details about the investment slump. And this article that they published, it also kind of explains why there are some signs, albeit early ones, that the U.S. is rethinking its recent approach. All right. It's 9:51. If you tuned in late, I'm solo this morning. I hope Don will be feeling better tomorrow. But he's wasn't feeling well this morning. And actually, I don't even know. I might even have a guest tomorrow. I don't have my list in front of me. But normally, Mondays and Fridays, we try to keep free-for-alls, open sessions. Okay, let's see here. Well, I kind of mentioned something about this. This is kind of these are one-liners, if you will. China is trying to steal technology from Silicon Valley. Another one. Liberia's closest election in two decades is heading to a runoff after neither the president nor his main opponent secured a majority. I wonder what they consider a majority. It must be something other than 50 plus one. You know what I mean? 50% plus one. Oh, well. Excuse me. Let's see. A woman in New York is in critical condition after a man pushed her into a subway train in what police are calling a random attack. You know, violence against women. Here's another story. A man confessed to killing Natalie Holloway, an American teenager, in Aruba after she rejected his advances. All right. Let's see here. Oh, here's an item I saw that I thought was interesting. It says, California has banned 4 common food additives that have been linked to cancer and reproductive issues. And this law will go into effect in 2027. Well, I wish I knew what the list was, but they did not share it with me. And also, here it is, October 2023. So they're saying, we're going to wait 4 years before this goes into effect. And yet, there's concern about these 4 items in food and how they can affect you with either cancer or reproduction issues. Boy, there's some questions there for me. All right, 9:55. Let's see, what about sports? Anything going on there? You see, the Las Vegas Aces won their second straight championship, beating the New York Liberty. Now, if you're scratching your head saying, who now? Okay, this is in the Women's National Basketball Association. Let's see, in the NBA, James Harden of the Philadelphia 76ers continues to miss team events as trade talks with the Clippers have stalled. What about Major League Baseball? Well, in the playoffs, the Houston Astros beat the Texas Rangers 8-5, cutting the Rangers' ALCS edge now to 2-1. Well, let's see here. Do you like broccoli? I really do. And the New York Times included a very simple recipe for roasting broccoli. I think I'll put this in my pocket and take it home and try it. Oh, here's an interesting statement. Don't rake leaves. Now, I'm kind of nuts about that. The leaves fall, and I have one of those sweepers that I run behind my yard tractor, and it sweeps them up. The city has a very definite schedule of picking them up through all the neighborhoods. they published it. But this says, don't rake leaves. They're home to an entire ecosystem. You know, I have wondered about that. And so I have also tried, I guess you would call it mulching them, using my mower and grinding them up into very small tidbits and leaving them about so that they help fertilize and, well, but I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. But here they're saying, don't rake them. Leave them be. So be it. Well, let's look at the weather and call it a day. Today, a 30% chance of showers after 5 p.m. They say the high today will be 69. Right now, let's see here. Let me hit my update button. Right now, it's 53. There could be a light wind, 7 to 13 miles per hour, headed south. Tonight, showers mainly after 7 p.m., low around 50, south wind around 11 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation listed tonight at 90%. And they say somewhere between a quarter and a half an inch is possible. Tomorrow, we could have a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Have a safe day, folks. Be careful out there. Enjoy this Thursday. And we'll see you tomorrow.
In our 73rd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970 and 97.3 FM.